Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Saturday on Fox, MVP candidate Russell Wilson leads the Seahawks against Aaron Donald and the Rams. It's all part of Super Wild Card Weekend, Saturday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Terry Bradshaw has given away over $3.5 million. What's next? Find out what the mystery prize is on the Fox NFL pregame show on Saturday. And enter the Super 6 contest during Super Wild Card Weekend for your chance to win. This weekend's contest features the Rams and Seahawks. Colin, which team will have the most rushing yards, and by how many?
Good Lord. I would say Rams have to run the football if Wolford plays. Seattle can throw the ball. I'll say Rams have more rushing. No, because Seattle's going to win. Seattle has more rushing yards by about 20. This is going to be a low-scoring, physical. Look how many great defensive players are in this game. Jamal Adams, Bobby Wagner, Aaron Donald, Brockers, Jalen Ramsey, that rookie Jordan Fuller. Oh, my God, Carlos Dunlap. There are so many good defensive players in this game.
It's going to be a great game.
By the way, I'm way behind on spots. I'm getting ahead of myself because I can't wait to talk to Joe Burrow. Everybody wants to keep their home safe. SimplySafe.com/Colin. Free security camera with that. So, you know, my mom told me this as a kid. She said, you like to be liked. And, you know, when Baker Mayfield was a little hostile with me, it was fun, but I don't want Baker to not like me. And so a lot of people, I like when I found out that Joe Burrow followed me. And I said, all right, I like that. I like, because I don't want to be a bad guy. These are kids. I root for everybody to succeed. Sometimes I'm a little, you know, I have big opinions, right?
Yeah. I mean, I loved Joe Burrow in the draft. I wanted the Dolphins to give the entire draft class to go and get him.
You were his agent.
Yes,
and I said he's going to be Tony Romo. Well, he was better. He came out as a rookie, and this is still a rebuilding franchise. 65% completion, passer rating 90, 13 TDs, 5 picks, sometimes running for his life before he was shut down with an injury. So he was better than I said, but I said he's going to be Tony Romo. He's going to win a bunch of games. He'll win a division. And Joe Burrow is now joining us. He's in Los Angeles right now. So let's just get this part out of the way, and then we'll talk about real stuff. So when I don't even think I was critical of you. I said you're going to be Tony Romo. But when all this stuff's going on and I'm a loudmouth, did your parents or a friend or anybody go, oh, coward. Oh, God, he won't stop. I mean, did you hear any of it?
Yeah, there was definitely some of that. But, you know, if I took into account every person's opinion from the last 5 years, there's no chance that I would be where I'm at right now. So I just kept my nose down and worked. That's all it was.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Joe. Years ago, when you were a high school player, you went to a college. And then if you transferred, you'd be like, oh, that's trouble. He could. But Kyler Murray transferred. And Justin Fields transferred. And Baker transferred. And you transferred. So the stigma's gone. The reality is, you guys want to play. So let's go back to Ohio State. Because my initial feeling was, why that kid transfer? I don't understand. I mean, JT Barrett, he can beat him out. So why did you transfer from Ohio State?
So JT was the starter there for, you know, my first 2 years. And, you know, he's the Big Ten passing touchdown all-time leader. So he was the starting quarterback. Nobody was beating him out. And then my last fall camp there, me and Dwayne Haskins were battling. And I break my hand the practice after fall camp had ended 2 weeks before the first game. So I couldn't throw for, you know, I came back a little sooner than I should have. But I didn't throw for about 4 or 5 weeks. And Dwayne went in against team up north, Michigan, the last game, played really well, ended up winning the game. And then, you know, he was kind of the starter from there on.
Yeah, and you kind of knew, okay, I got to get reps because your dad's a coach. You know the game. Nobody's going to draft you if you don't get reps. So you go to LSU, and you obviously don't doubt yourself. You had a solid year, not spectacular, before the great year. Has there ever been a moment in your journey, you know, injuries change the way you think, psychology. Was there ever a moment, Joe, that you thought, you know, maybe I'll be a coach. This has been fun. I love it. Did you doubt yourself or the journey for a minute?
Never for a second. You know, I think I felt like I worked really, really hard for 3 years. And for those 3 years, I wasn't playing. And I had faith that that hard work would pay off. Because if you don't have that faith, then, you know, all of that is for nothing. And I couldn't really, you know, bring myself to think that I worked that hard for no reason. So I just continued to do it and, you know, put money in the bank, money in the bank, money in the bank, and hoping that it would pay off for me someday. And, you know, it eventually did.
I thought you had a spectacular year until the injury. We had said by week two, I mean, I just said, this kid, there's an it. He's better than Romo, and I loved Romo. I thought Romo was a gamer. How would you evaluate your rookie year? Let's take the injury out of it, the games you played.
You know, I think I played well for the most part. You know, I had some pretty tough games, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, come to mind that, you know, going into next year, I need to be more consistent in those big games. But I think for the most part, I played well. I was really efficient. But, you know, there was still some things that obviously need to be corrected. I wasn't great with the deep ball, which I was pretty disappointed in because I've usually, you know, I've always been pretty good at that. So that's an emphasis for me going into this offseason, is hitting those big plays and creating outside the offense and creating those big plays on my own.
This may sound like a weird question, but you're an Ohio kid, and all of a sudden you're quarterbacking an Ohio team. You're facing the Steelers. You're facing the Browns. Was there a moment in your rookie year when you literally went under center and thought, this is surreal? Literally, my dad's a college coach. I'm a high school player. I left Ohio. I came back. Now you're in this division, which is tough. Cleveland and Ohio and Pittsburgh. Was there a pinch yourself moment this year for you?
You know, not during the season. Leading up to the draft, you know, knowing where I was going to go, I think it was exciting for me to come back to Cincinnati, come back to Ohio, and actually get to play for the fans. But, you know, during the season, there's no time for that. You got to win games. You got to play well right now. Otherwise, you know, you see what's happening across the league. If you don't play well, you know, people are trying to run you out of town. So there's no time to pinch yourself, say, wow, that's the Steelers. Wow, you know, I'm playing Thursday night football against the Browns. you got to play well.
Did you hit it off with Zach Taylor, your head coach, quickly? Or did it take a while?
It was immediate. You know, I think Zach is going to be a great coach for a long time. You know, I'm happy to be in the position that I'm in and to help build this organization, but it's going to be on Zach's back. He's the leader of what we're trying to do, and he's awesome.
Yeah. Does he ever, you know, your dad's a coach, so you're obviously coachable. You've known it. Does he ever say things, do things, and you think of your dad, that you've had that coach in your ear your entire life, you know, as a quarterback with a dad as a coach? Do you think it actually makes you a little more coachable, that you have a little advantage of the lexicon and the language that you grow up with?
Yeah, I think it does definitely make me a little more coachable. But my dad, as far as my dad goes, he kind of stayed away from the coach role with me. I think he got his coaching fix in when he was coaching, you know, with his own players, and he was kind of just a dad to me. But then when he retired, he didn't get his coaching fix in. So now he's starting to coach me a little more and getting in my ear a little bit. So that's fun. But I think growing up around football and around a coach definitely probably made me a little more coachable.
When you go look at a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields, these are super talented guys. If you could say, okay, here's two things, guys, that'll make your transition easier. Maybe somebody told you what they were, maybe they didn't. But are there a couple of things that really do help college to pro in the transition process?
You know, I think the transition is easier than ever. You know, back in the day, you had to be a 6'6", 250-pound strong arm quarterback. And, you know, those days are kind of gone. I think coaches in the NFL are getting really, really good at understanding what their quarterbacks do well and adapting what they do to what the quarterbacks do. So, you know, I think it's easier than ever, but I think the biggest thing is just being able to adapt very quickly. You know, during games, gone are the days where, you know, you go into a game, you see two or three defenses the entire time, you know your adjustments, you know exactly what you're getting every play. Teams have a new defense every single week, a new third down defense, a new blitz. So you're going to see things that you don't know what they are, and you just have to be prepared to adapt to those certain things that defensive coordinators throw at you and have answers in your back pocket for a lot of different defenses.
So when you look, SEC is the best conference in terms of overall defense, the speed of the athletes, Alabama, Florida, LSU. I mean, you practiced every day against NFL dudes at LSU. They had 14 guys drafted. And then you play the Steelers, who have, you know, six Pro Bowl-level guys. When you look at a – let's go pre-snap. You walk to the line at the college level at LSU. You walk to the line against the Steelers. You're talking about now 28-year-old men, Joe. They've been in the league a long time, Mike Tomlin. Does it force you before the ball is snapped? Do you have? Is it a lot cognitively? Can it be a real challenge at the NFL level? What do you see that's different, and how do you adapt to it?
Yeah, so, you know, my pre-snap process has never changed. I, you know, look at the front, look at the linebackers, look at the safety rotation, look at the leverage of the corners, their eyes inside on me, are they playing man, and their eyes on the receiver. So my pre-snap never changes, but you just see a lot more things. You know, I always give an example. We were playing the Colts, you know, we were up 21-0, and in college you're up 21-0, you probably have one more series left. In the NFL, you're still have to keep your foot on the gas pedal because, you know, Phillip Rivers is over there getting ready to score 24 straight, and, you know, that's what he did against us. And then the last play of the game, we were in a two-minute drill. The Mike linebacker and the Sam linebacker walk up on the ball. We're in a 3-by-1 formation. I had never seen that in my life. They just had two guys covering three. I'm like, what is going on? What is this defense? And then they run the safety. They were given a single high. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little technical right here.
I love it.
But they're in a single high shell. Corner or the safety comes down into a quarter shell, and they just play 2/3 of the field. And I'm watching film. I ended up throwing a pick in the 2-minute drill to lose the game. And I'm watching film, like, I could have just checked to this play. Like, they don't have enough people over there. And so it was games like that, plays like that, that, you know, through my first year are big time learning experiences for me. And I think are going to help me a lot going forward.
Yeah. Anybody talk trash because you're a rookie quarterback? I mean, TJ Watt or somebody get in your ear a little bit?
Fletcher Cox for sure. We played the Eagles in Philly, and he kind of shoved me out of bounds a little late after I threw the ball away. And I look at the ref, I'm like, that was a little late. And he said, you know, you're not getting that call, Rook, not yet. So I think there are a lot of little things like that throughout the year that were pretty fun.
Yeah, that answer doesn't surprise me. Thank God there's not many Fletcher Coxes in the league because he is incredible. So yeah. Now you're in a part. I know where you're at in L.A. You've done your rehab. Let's talk about that. It's scary. Rehab stinks. Joy was a great athlete. It's no fun. Was there a moment when you went under the knife? You were anxious. You were worried. How has it gone for you?
Yeah, you know, as soon as the injury happened, I was obviously devastated. You know, I wanted to finish out the year and, you know, finish strong. I thought there were a lot of winnable games in this part of the schedule that we had. And then the injury happened, and that was devastating for me. But, you know, rehab has gone really well. I'm past the worst part. I'm starting to feel like a normal human again. I can walk around, you know, put my clothes on, do what I need to do. You know, the first week and a half, 2 weeks was pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Needed help doing everything, but I'm getting more independent, and it's going to be nice to get some alone time, you know, not having to rely on everybody for a little bit. But you know, things are on track to start the season the way I need to, practice a little bit in fall camp and get ready to go.
Wow. Now some suggested you wouldn't be ready for the opener. What's your gut feeling?
I think I'll be ready.
All right.
I think it'll be just fine.
Okay. All right. I know what I'm rooting for, but I hear all those things. Well, I think you're a remarkable player. You're a good sport. You're just going to be great. And I love that you're doing this. You're always welcome. And by the way, I'm thick-skinned, so if I say something stupid, just go to my direct message, rip me for it. I'm totally comfortable with that. I'm really good. I'm good. Joy knows. Sometimes blah, blah, blah. I can't, you know, I can't cash the checks I talk about sometimes. Oh, by the way, Joe's going to be joining Joel Klatt and Reggie Bush next Monday for the Fox Sports College Football Watch Party. Good for you. It's on Fox Sports digital platforms for the title game with Klatt and Reggie Bush. Joe Burrow, we're honored that you stopped by, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Colin. Thanks for having me.
You bet. How about that? What a good kid.
Great.
There are some. We had like Terry McLaurin on yesterday. Some guys are easy to root for. You just want, you're rooting for them. Like they just, they, you know, like I've told my kids before, if you care about something, I care about it. But if you don't care about something, I don't care about. So I'm not going to take you to basketball practice if you're not into it. Right. When you see a young athlete like Terry McLaurin or Joe Burrow, and you know they're totally committed to it, well, it makes it easy to root for it. The worst is a guy's got talent, and he's kind of half-assing it.
Honestly, just listening to him talk about rehab is impressive. Because if you're excited about – rehab is the worst. Like, the surgery gives you anxiety because you, obviously it's surgery, yeah, and it's always scary. But rehab is such a daunting process, and it's so frustrating. Like, even him just saying, like, he needs help doing everything, and just getting to the point where you can walk again and having good spirits about it is a good thing.
By the way, start the new year with ButcherBox. ButcherBox.com/herd. Ultimate keto bundle right now. 2 pounds of ground beef, 3 pounds of bone-in chicken, 1 pork butt. ButcherBox.com/herd. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
In 2018, the Rams made a deep postseason run all the way to the Super Bowl. And yeah, after missing the playoffs last year, Aaron Donald thinks that this year's team has what it takes to duplicate the success they had 2 years ago.
We got all the pieces to the puzzle. I think we're playing lights out on defense, and, you know, our offense is doing things to the point where they can manage games and still make things happen, you know, to help us win. So, when you got that, you know, you're definitely going into a confidence, and, you know, I feel like we're in a position, you know, to get to what we want to get to. We just got to go week by week and just dominate.
Yeah, the bigger problem is Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady. Just think about this, Joy. After this weekend, if certain teams win, here's the final four in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, and
Tom Brady.
That's your final four quarterbacks.
Sounds easy.
Yeah, cinchy.
Well, Fox Bet has the Seahawks favored by 3.5. I agree with him that their defense is great. Oh, right? They have stars everywhere. They're solid. That's not my concern. Are you going to be able to put up enough points to take down any of those teams? And that's what you, any of those quarterbacks.
And Goff's lost confidence. He's not playing. And now he's got a broken
hand. Well, he's had surgery last week.
Yeah. And he was, before the surgery, he didn't feel comfortable. Now he's post-surgery. It's a one and done.
I don't think that there's, I still have confidence in the Rams as an organization, Sean McVay,
yeah,
and what they've built.
Yeah.
I think that they need a whole healthy year,
yeah,
and a few extra pieces, and they'll be back where they were before. I don't think that this is the year for them, though, yeah, despite the fact that their defense is great. So Kevin Stefanski will be forced to miss the Browns playoff game, testing positive for COVID, but he doesn't think his absence will change the way his team prepares and performs in this game.
I'm disappointed for anybody that can't be a part of this, whether due to injury or whatever, you know. I'm disappointed for Joel Bitonio, obviously. All of our guys that can't be a part of this is disappointing to me, but we have to find a way. I think the players understand, Dan, that it really doesn't matter who's the head coach on Sunday. They know how we play.
Fox Bet has the Steelers favored by 6 right now. Acting head coach Mike Prefer says he's going to try and be an extension of Stefanski on Sunday. This is, I keep saying, this game makes me nervous because it's the Steelers and I'm emotionally invested. And the last thing I want to do is listen to Browns fans tell me how they beat us in the playoffs for the next year. That's exhausting. But the Browns can win this game if they can run the ball.
Yes. That's it. Run the ball. First 12 plays will be scripted anyway. Some are suggesting that Kevin Stefanski should be able to at least call plays from home. The reason he's not, as far as I can tell, is the NFL is very touchy on having electronic advantages.
Yeah.
And the feeling is if we don't have a camera on you, then you could be home looking at film, communicating with people.
Well, also, it's just like things go wrong and there's you need to be in the building. It's awful. We're all dealing with this pandemic and it's a terrible situation. everyone, including the Steelers, I'm sure, would prefer that they have all of their pieces there and it's a fair game and the best team wins. Like, that's what everybody wants. But that's not the situation that we're dealing with during pandemic. Can't say 2020 anymore. During pandemic. So this is the situation. It's unfortunate, but I really feel like it falls on the Steelers. The Browns need to run the ball, but if Ben doesn't turn the ball over and they can get some semblance of a running game, then they will win handily. If either of those things don't happen, I think it's going to actually be close.
Yeah.
Finally, Kawhi Leonard played his first back-to-back game since April 2017 this week. He was in the game for 37 minutes Tuesday against the Spurs and 35 minutes last night against the Warriors, and he said he plans on continuing to play in more back-to-back games going forward.
I think I'll be playing pretty much. You know, the last few years I was injured. You know, I was working on getting my legs stronger. And, you know, it's been a long time, but I was patient and, you know, I'm able to play.
Good. I want to see it. You should play back-to-back games.
I agree. I'm glad that he said that he was injured. I'm not ever going to doubt someone if they're saying that their body didn't feel right. Their body is their business, like literally their business, and also it's the business of what they do every day. So if Kawhi is saying he doesn't feel healthy enough and he needs to protect himself and not play in back-to-back games, then that's what he needs to do. But I also think the NBA has kind of officially gotten away from the load management thing. And it's specifically kind of because of what happened with the Clippers. Like, the load management thing was something we all kind of accepted. Like, Kawhi's not going to play in back-to-back games. He's going to sit a bunch of games. Like, this is just what he agreed on with the Clippers. And then the Clippers had a meltdown in the bubble. And now it's like, okay, well, that didn't work. So it's it always felt kind of like a little bit of an excuse, even though I don't believe that. But to fans, it does. And I think that's kind of been phased out.
Yeah, I mean, it started with the Spurs 15 years ago, and it was a tactic mostly to have veteran players rested for big games, and Greg Popovich felt it was unfair. How come we're always playing the afternoon TV games? It screws, you know, because if you are popular, it's like in the NFL, the good teams end up on Sunday Night Football. Nobody wants to play that game. You want to be home by Sunday night with your family, so it started as a tactic, give an inch, take a mile, and more players thought, you know, I could take that game off.
Yeah, everyone thinks LeBron started this. It was Popovich.
No, LeBron takes games off at the end of the year.
It's not the players shouldn't take games off.
Yeah.
It sucks for the fans. Obviously, there's no fans in the stands right now, but when they are, it sucks for fans to go to the one game that they get to go to all year and the stars aren't playing. It sucks for the networks who pay hundreds of millions, billions of dollars for these games to not have the stars on TV. It's not good. And now, if it's necessary to keep yourself healthy for the playoffs, which is what we judge you for, then that works. But Kawhi saying that this was a health issue, I believe him.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Okay,
news.
It was a disaster in the first year, did better and redeemed itself. Quarterback face bracket. I'll pick the playoffs based solely on the better quarterback should win the game. Who's the better quarterback today?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right. Weather can be unpredictable. Use Michelin Endurance XD silicone wiper blades. Walmart's the place to get them. Last two times longer than other blades. So it's called the quarterback face bracket. Disaster the first time I tried it. I picked the games, the playoff games, all the way through the playoffs, based solely on who today is the better quarterback. Today, this morning, who is the better quarterback today? And I don't care about your coach. I don't care about your defense. I don't care about your weapons. This morning, what does it tell me today? So are we ready to go on this? Here is our quarterback face bracket. Okay, a little music here, Greg. So which one do you want me to do first?
Let's start with the Josh Allen Philip Rivers matchup.
Okay. Well, Josh Allen is the most improved quarterback in the NFL this year, passing yards per game and completion percentage. And since week 13, he's has 7 touchdowns and 3 picks. So that would be Josh Allen. Baker Mayfield, Ben Roethlisberger. Baker is 0-3 road games against the Steelers. Big Ben has more Super Bowls than Baker has playoff performances. In this spot, with better receivers, Ben will be the better quarterback. Lamar Jackson against Ryan Tannehill. Remember, in this spot, last year, Tannehill attempted just 29 combined passes in the Titans' two postseason wins. The Ravens have more confidence in Lamar running their offense than the Titans have Tannehill running theirs. So Josh Allen, Big Ben, and Lamar Jackson win those games. Now it's Lamar against Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has the best playoff passer rating in the history of the league. He has scored 30-plus points in all of his career playoff games. He is off a bye. So in this spot, remember, who's the best coach in the NFL? Off a bye.
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid. So in this spot, Mahomes is better. Big Ben or Josh Allen? Josh Allen. Roethlisberger's passer rating has been under 85 in his last six games. And after an intense win over Cleveland, Josh Allen, an easier win over Phillip Rivers. By the way, Josh Allen, if you go and look at this matchup, you think Josh Allen has no experience. Ben does, but in his last nine playoff games, he's 3-6. So that's three wins that Baker doesn't have. But I like Sean McDermott. No, I can't talk coach. Yeah. In this moment, Josh Allen playing better football will be better than Big Ben. So Josh Allen, and now it's Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
Remember, it's quarterback face bracket.
This is called the quarterback face bracket. Over the last 5 weeks, Josh Allen has more touchdowns, fewer turnovers, and a higher passer rating than Patrick. And Mahomes has tied for the most turnovers in the NFL over the last 4 weeks of the season. Josh Allen, in this moment, is the better, more confident quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. All right, let's go to the NFC. Goff, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, let's not waste any time. Breeze, Trubisky. Likewise, let's not waste any time. Brady against Alex Smith. Tom Brady, 41 playoff games, 130. Alex Smith in his last five is 1-4. Breeze, Russell Wilson, and Tom Brady, that's pretty light lifting for me. Advance. Brady against Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, in his six career home playoff games, Aaron Rodgers, 13 TDs a pick and 107 passer rating. Picking solely on quarterback in that spot, Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, now it gets interesting. Russell Wilson, 24th in passing yards a game over the last nine games. He led the NFL in the first 9 weeks. Last nine, 24th. Brees is 8-1 in his last nine starts. In this moment, Drew Brees will be the better quarterback in this spot. Now we get down to Brees and Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers has 14 games with 100-plus passer rating this year. No other quarterback in history of the league has done it. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback face, gives us a Super Bowl of Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen.
Now, who are you picking? Colin.
Josh Allen's one career playoff game, 69 passer rating. Rodgers in one career Super Bowl, 111 passer rating. The intensity of this game and the anxiety created, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Aaron Rodgers wins our quarterback face bracket where I pick based solely on who will be the better quarterback in that moment.
Nick Wright's going to lose his mind over that. You know that.
I am so proud of this. By the way, I got Mahomes right last year.
You did.
I had Mahomes in the Super Bowl last year. Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran owned. Get 20% off your purchase. BlackRifleCoffee.com, code HERD. Ludicrous game. It's the HERD.